underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu.
Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Carol Goodman is the critically acclaimed author of The Lake of Dead Languages and The Seduction of Water. Her latest, River Road, is a psychological thriller about a college professor accused of killing her favorite student in a hit-and-run accident and the secrets that emerge as she desperately tries to clear her name. A creative writing teacher at the New School and SUNY New Paltz, Goodman brings to vivid life the close-knit community of professors and students at an isolated upstate New York university, building suspense as professional relationships turn personal and deadly. Again, the name of the new novel is River Road, and we welcome Carol Goodman to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program. What brought you to this particular topic?
Well, something actually quite violent. I accidentally hit a deer on the road, and that's how the book opens, with my narrator, Nan Lewis, hitting a deer. And about almost exactly two years ago, I was driving home from Boston, and I was a little tired. Sun was in my eyes. It was towards the dusk, and deer came out of nowhere, and I hit it.
It is one of those things, if you live in the Northeast, in many parts of this country, that it seems inevitable that eventually someone will hit a deer, because they are so often running in the paths of our vehicles.
Right.
So how did this have a reaction? How did you react to
it? Well, first of all, just that feeling of impact really stayed with me for quite a while. It was frightening. It just came out of nowhere. I felt that thump of hitting the deer, of the impact. And then something truly tragic happened about a week after that. There was a horrible double hit and run fatality in my community. Two college students were killed in a hit and run at the college, actually, where my daughter attended. And that didn't inspire me to write a book about that. But in the weeks and months to come, it kept revolving in my head, that juxtaposition of hitting the deer and that terrible tragedy.
And something like that, I assume, does stick with you as to the tragedy and to the idea of a hit and run, and that eventually made its way into an idea.
Exactly. It really haunted me. And it, as I said, it really wasn't, the deer was something that I did try to write about. I've looked back in my notebooks now, and I see I tried to write a poem about hitting the deer. I tried to write a short story about hitting that deer, and I couldn't quite get anything together. I did not think about writing about this, the death of these two girls, but it haunted me. And it haunted me to think about the girls' parents, their friends, and the way it affected the entire community. But it also haunted me to think of the person who had hit them, and what it would mean to be at such a low stage of one's life that could happen to you, that you could do that and take somebody's life like that, and what it would feel like to be accused of having committed that crime.
Right. And the difference for most of us is that if it was truly an accident, that you then say, I did this, and feel the repercussions of it, versus I've done this and now I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm. You mean as opposed to a hit and run? Then?
Yes.
Well, in the actual case, the woman was caught right away. And in Nan's case, she does not believe she did that. But the memory of hitting that deer is a little bit blurry and confused. So there's the possibility, and just the effect of having people turn on her. The other important thing to know about Nan is that she herself had lost a child in a hit and run accident 6 years before the action of the novel. So she is particularly haunted by the idea of being on the other side of that equation, of being the person who potentially could have taken the life of a student she cared about.
So the character of Nan Lewis comes to you, and it is interesting because those two stories that you just told us really come together. Mm-hmm. So she is, not only is she coming back from a faculty party, she's had a couple mm-hmm. glasses of wine, mm-hmm. she hits a student, but then there is also...
Hits a deer. Yes.
So the two really come together.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you want going through her mind?
Well, when she hits the deer, the first thing that goes through her mind is she should have known not to be going fast on that road. It's right. She gets out of the car. She looks for the deer, and she recognizes that she's in exactly the same spot where her child was killed. So she feels she has this sort of haunted feeling of feeling like she's come full circle. She's also reached a really low point in her life. Not only has she lost her child 6 years ago, which she's not recovered from, but she's just been told that she's been denied tenure. So she wanders into the woods looking for the deer, but also as it starts to snow, having this experience of feeling like perhaps she really can't go on, that she might just stay there in those woods as they fill up with snow, as she thinks of the Robert Frost poem.
And you never got to that point in hitting the deer.
I hit the deer. I was not coming home from a party. I had had nothing to drink.
Right.
It was not the same. I was with my husband. I was still very traumatized by it, and just that feeling of impact. But it was thinking afterwards of, I think the deer, for me, that experience, or for anyone, I think, really, to something comes out of nowhere, is that feeling of you're going along in your life and everything is kind of status quo, and something just comes out of nowhere and changes the direction of your life.
So for Nan, it's going back to teaching. It's mm-hmm. going back to working with the students.
Mm-hmm.
And you teach writing, creative mm-hmm. writing. And do you see, was it the stories that the students write about and the personal experiences that they have, something that interests you as well of, mm-hmm. of how that becomes either fiction or memoir?
Well, sure. I was teaching creative writing that semester. I was also teaching a great books class where we were reading Homer and the Aeneid. Mostly in looking at my students and teaching creative writing, you start hearing little bits and pieces of your students' lives, and sometimes you're concerned about them. They, you know, often have, they've had terrible things happen to them. They have chaotic lives. They've had, they have things going on with them right in front of you where you're concerned as a teacher, but your ability to, how far do you pry? What do you do? So I also wanted to write about what our responsibility is to other people. Nan will find out in the course of this book that there were things that were going on around her with her students that she might have been aware of if she hadn't been stuck in her own grief and, you know, preoccupation with her own situation. If she hadn't numbed herself after her grief, which of course is a very human thing to have done, but she'll come to feel responsible for things that have happened beyond hitting that deer.
There is a quote in the book. There's the Margaret Atwood quote
mm-hmm.
in the book. All writing is motivated deep down by a desire to make the risky trip to the underworld and to bring someone or something back from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you were trying to do?
I think, well, Margaret Atwood says we're always trying to do that when we write. And it's true. I think in many ways, when I write, I often am thinking of people who have gone, who are no longer with me, that I do want to bring back their presence into the book. And also, I think it's a sense that you'd make this journey into a very dark place, thinking about children dying, thinking about being responsible for a death or being responsible for something awful happening to someone else. That's a very dark place. In a sense, that's going, it's making a journey to the underworld. It's going into the things you fear most. And I feel every time I write, that is part of what I am doing. And hopefully that I'm going to go there and come out of it and showing my character coming out of it, show the potential for all of us coming out of it.
And it seems that in talking to you, that the when that character came to you, it was Nan, and that's the character that you're navigating and ultimately trying to bring out of it, the one that you want to explore the most.
Well, she's the narrator, and she's the one who, she starts out being someone who's not unlike me, although I never had this particular situation, and thank God I've never lost a child. But she started out, she's a teacher like myself. So she starts out being somewhat like me, and she's the one I'm following. But as I travel with Nan, first of all, she becomes not me. There are too many things that are different, and I don't think of her as being my avatar or like me necessarily anymore. But I see all the people around her, I begin to navigate, you know, what's going on with these other people. And as she experiences them, I'm also trying to figure out and to show the reader what this wider world around Nan is and what's going on and what's happened to put her in this situation in the first place.
Carol Goodman is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the novel is A River Road. It is published by Touchstone. The fact that Nan has lost a child, what role did that play and what nuance did that give the story, the depth?
First of all, I didn't know that when I started writing the book. I had had the hit the deer, and I have Nan hit the deer, and I knew that far. I didn't know until I was writing that first chapter till I had Nan go into the woods that she had lost a child. So that is what I think it answered to me the question is, what has happened to this woman that she is on this road at this time and that she has reached this dark period of her life? It also starts on the night of the solstice. So it's the longest night of the year and the darkest night. So I asked myself what that was, and I realized that she had lost a child. And it's the first time I've ever written about a character, certainly in the first person, who had lost a child. Because to me, it was always such a horrifying, and still is such a horrifying thought, that it was something I had never wanted to explore before. Somehow this was the time when it's the worst thing. So I guess I wanted to explore what happens to someone after the worst thing has happened. How do you go on?
One of the things that fascinated me about the story is that, unlike the deer, where there is a randomness and mm-hmm. you don't know the deer, mm-hmm. Nan knows the student mm-hmm. who is hit, and
right.
It's her favorite student. She's mm-hmm. someone that she's very fond of. So that obviously plays a role as well. There isn't that randomness, and it's not even
right.
that it's one of your students. It's one of your real favorites.
And as she says, it's the one who reminded her of herself at that age. So the Leia Dawson represents to her also the her own lost potential or who she had been or who she could have been before this horrible tragedy had overtaken her. And what happens to Leia is not random. And there are things that Nan could have seen, could have picked up on. I think she has even more of a responsibility than in hitting the deer. She had a responsibility to her student to see what was going on. But as often happens, we don't see what's happening to the people around us, even people we care about, because we are too preoccupied with our own tragedies, what's happened to us.
And the people who are around us, the people who were around Nan, who looked at her and helped her through her grief mm-hmm. of the death of her child and came to her comfort, mm-hmm. were the same people, in many cases, who turned against her when this story breaks.
Well, the community, that's true. Perhaps not that her really close friends.
Not close friends.
Her husband, her marriage had fallen apart after the death of their child, which unfortunately often happens because people grieve differently. And her close friends, I think, are still her close friends. But she sees the people she is friends with, but you know, not as close with, look at her in a totally different way, as one would if you thought that that this person had been responsible for the death of a young person. So she sees herself being looked at as she had looked at the woman who had been responsible for her own child's death.
And also, when we say community, I'll throw in another word, which is the academic community.
Yeah, it's well, there, it's really both, Fernand, because she lives near the college, so she's she has the, there's the academic community, there are her colleagues, there's the department secretary, the head of the department, there are all these different professors and adjuncts, but there's also the town that she lives in, the guy who runs the gas station, the police officer who investigates the crime. And people she just sees in the local store. One of the things I noticed after that horrible, that hit and run is that every store I went into in my town, people talked about it. You know, we just had, you know, had to sort of work through that experience. So it's a very public kind of grieving that goes on when that kind of death has occurred.
This book does explore that relationship of a community and a college, a campus, the professors, the students.
Yes, that's always interested me from any experience I've had of colleges. There's the college versus town. There's something idyllic and beautiful about the college campus, and then sometimes there can be some friction between how the town feels about the college. And I like that juxtaposition.
The Greek tragedy aspect of it, what brought you there, and is there a case to be made that you often go there?
I do. It is a place that I do go. I go other places as well, but I was a Latin major in college.
There you go.
It comes out. My first book, Lake of Dead Languages, is about a Latin teacher. Then I actually went off on sort of a fairy trail where I explored different kinds of mythology. But this was a place where, first of all, the main action felt like a Greek tragedy. And as I mentioned, I was teaching a course called Great Books, in which we were reading Homer's Odyssey and the Aeneid and Dante's Inferno, all with their trip to hell built in. So I was thinking again of the Greeks and Romans.
Carol Goodman is the author of the new novel River Road. It is published by Touchstone. Tell us a little bit about Wake of Dead Languages, of how that novel came about and ultimately resonated with readers.
Lake of Dead Languages, it's my first published novel. Not my first novel. I had written two before that were never saw the light of day and never will, but for good reason. But Lake of Dead Languages is a book that I wrote about a woman who goes back to a school that she had gone to in the southern Adirondacks and teaches Latin, and her relationship with the students around her, and what starts happening is she realizes that somebody knows something about a secret, something that had happened when she was a student there. So I poured everything I had into Lake of Dead Languages. There's a saying that says you have your whole life to write your first book and a year to write your second. And Lake of Dead Languages really came out of years of teaching Latin and also the experience of the character there, Jane Hudson. She's gone to that school because she's had a divorce and she has a young child and she has no resources. She has to go someplace. And she gets this offer to teach that comes with this little cottage. And at that time of my life, I too was a young divorced mother with a child. And I was lucky enough that I was able to go home to my parents. And I wondered, I asked myself the question, what would I have done if I had not been able to go home to my parents, as is the case for many women in that situation? And I came up with Jane's scenario that I'd go teach Latin at a boarding school in upstate New York where I used to live. And that's really how Lake of Dead Languages was born.
And in this novel, there is that idea of Nan looking to writing as a way of saving her life.
Yes. Nan, she is somebody who had written before she got the job. She's a creative writing teacher. She really hasn't done much writing since. What happened to Nan is that when her daughter was four, she was watching her and they were outside, and Nan had an idea to write. And she just goes inside for a moment to write something down, and then more time passes than she realized. And when she looks up, her daughter is gone, and her daughter has run down to the road and been hit by a car. So Nan doesn't write after that, as one can imagine. She feels almost betrayed by the act of writing. And yet it's the act of writing that so often can help. There's another quote in the book from Alice Walker, "Writing is a sturdy ladder out of the pit." I hope I am quoting that correctly. But there's the idea that you can use writing to work through a tragedy, to work through the horrible events in your life.
In Nan's case, it is the idea of the circumstances can trump that, though, right? They can.
Yes. There's no
life
there's
gets
no,
in the way.
There's no writing yourself out of that kind of tragedy. I mean, I always use writing as a way of dealing with things that upset me or scare me, but. When I think of Nan having that happen to her, I think, well, no, she's not going to be able. Writing is not going to pull her out of that. And it's at a point in the book, Nan says it wasn't writing. It was the people around her who eventually helped pull her out. But writing can do a pretty good job up to perhaps that, you know, there are places that, you know, writing could not achieve that.
When you're reading the book, you're reading and you're hearing Nan, and you think, I don't know if I trust this woman. And is that's part of the fun, isn't it? Do we like the unreliable? Do we like that fact as readers that we don't really know? We know the logical part of it, but maybe we don't really know the truth. And
yes, well, because Nan is a little bit unreliable to begin with, because she is coming home from a party. She's upset, and we don't really know how much she's had to drink. She says a glass, maybe two, maybe three. So we're not really sure, and we're not really sure she's telling us everything. I think we do. I think we're interested in the unreliable narrator because. Really, we're surrounded our entire lives by unreliable narrators. We really don't know when people are telling us the truth or not, whether they're biased or whether their perception is the same as our perception. Everyone's an unreliable narrator. And perhaps even when we look back at our memories, how are we editing? Are we self-editing? How reliable even are our memories? So I think it reflects our experience in life and the mystery that other people are, that sometimes we can't, you know, how far can we trust people around us?
And again, it's something we don't often want to think about. And we want to believe, we don't want to believe the wrong person or the wrong thing, but it inevitably happens.
It does. I think all of us have had that experience. And when you do have that experience, when you realize somebody has either lied or misrepresented, for me, it's always been shocking. It's always been like, you know, you don't really expect that. But it's part of maturing to realize that not everyone is telling the truth around you.
There is a real tightness to this novel. How do you work on that?
This book came very fast when I finally, as I had said, I had had the, I'd hit the deer in January. I started the book in May, and I think I wrote it in about 4 months. So it had, once I really knew where it was going, it felt very, it felt like I was on a road and I was just driving, you know, this is the way I was going. I was going in a very direct line, not a road like River Road with nice turns, well, maybe a turn here and there. So I got out of first draft pretty quickly for me. And then there, you know, of course, was editing and, you know, going over it and honing down things that may have been extraneous or making sure everything was clear. But it came out very, I felt once Aunt Nan hit that deer, I kind of knew where things were going.
Well, the novel is River Road. It is published by Touchstone. Carol Goodman, thank you very much for spending time with us. What a great pleasure having you on the program.
It's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Again, Carol Goodman's new novel is River Road, published by Touchstone. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about the show. You can email us at book@wamc.org. And you can listen again to this or find past book shows at wamc.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.